God's really impressed something upon my heart. I believe tonight we're going to meet with him in a special way. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Can someone say amen? Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, then it says Selah. That means pause and think about it. So we're going to do that. Just think about that. Pause and think about it. All right, that's enough because you're not very good at that. Then it goes on in verse 4. It says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause. Think about that. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just pause and think about that. Father, in this place, still time. I know that actually, in reality, it probably won't happen in the way that we think. But God, I pray that you would, by your grace, by your sovereign power, in this place right now, Holy One, I pray that you would still us in such a way that we would have a moment with you in this place. My God, I pray that every distraction, everything that we've been thinking, everything that we've been going through, everything that we've brought with us, Lord God, would just be laid aside right now and we would stop and pause and think about some stuff. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. I pray tonight, oh God, that you would come in a way that is sudden, a way that is simple, a way that is powerful, a way, oh God, that is going to change us forever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. A man sat at a metro station in Washington, D.C., and he started to play the violin. It was a cold January morning. He played 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. During that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that thousands of people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. You know the scene. You've been there, you've done that, right? 3 minutes went by and a middle-aged man noticed there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace and he stopped for a few seconds and then he hurried on to meet his schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw down some money and without stopping, continued to walk. You ever done that? You know, the guilt money? Come on now. Just fling a pound in the basket. You know, there's the woman now. Big-ish. Big-ish. No. I'll give you a pound if you say it properly. Right? It's not big-ish, man. It's big issue. Issue, like tissue, like you say when you sneeze. Issue. Have you ever done that? You ever tried to educate someone? I'll give you a pound if, and then you give them guilt money, no, not today, mate. You walk on, you're busy, you're doing your thing. Picture the scene. few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen to him, but the man looked at his watch and he started to walk again. He was clearly late for work. The one who paid the most attention was a three-year-old boy. His mother grabbed him and dragged him along. But he kept stopping to turn around and look at the man playing the violin. But she just scragged him along, like you do when you're in a rush and your kids ain't flowing with you. Any parents in the house know what I'm talking about. Any children in the house had it done to you? That's everyone, man. You've all had it done to you. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. You've been dragged along when you ain't wanted to move. Hello. Turn around and look at someone and say, you was a kid once. Amen. The little three-year-old boy was conspicuous by the fact that he was the one paying the most attention to the man playing the violin in the midst of thousands of adults. Finally, his mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This action was repeated by several other children. All the parents, without exception, forced them to move on. In the 45 minutes the musician played, only 6 people stopped and stayed for a while. About 20 gave him money, but continued to walk their normal pace. He collected $32. That ain't bad. Some of you are like, wow, I need to get do some busking tomorrow. When he finished playing and silence took over, no one noticed it, no one applauded, nor was there any recognition. No one knew this, but the violinist was a man by the name of Joshua Bell, one of the top musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written in the subway on a violin that was worth $3.5 million. 2 days before, he played in the subway, unnoticed by everyone except a few small children. He just sold out a major theater in Boston where the seats went for an average of $100 a piece. This is a real story. Joshua Bell, playing incognito in the metro station, was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment about perception. It was about them seeing what people's perception was like. It was about taste. It was about people's priorities. The outlines were this. The premise was this for this Washington Post article. In a commonplace environment at an inappropriate hour, do we perceive beauty? Do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize talent in an unexpected context? One of the possible conclusions from this experience could be this. If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing the best music ever written, how many other things are we missing in life? Because we're too busy. When was the last time you just stopped and worshiped God, the creator of the universe, who created everything? Didn't just come about out of an amoebic soup. It wasn't just this big bang, because even the physicists and the astronomers and all of the rest of it, they know that nothing comes from nothing. There must be something, but what was there before everything? They don't know. So there is a creator, and he has created a wonderful universe. When was the last time that you just paused and thought about it? When was the last time in your busy schedule did you just stop for a minute on your way rushing to go and earn money, to go and buy stuff that is going to make you fat, make you unhealthy, make you fit in with someone else, make you turn out to be some sort of couch potato, make your lunch out in front of a 75 million inch TV screen that plays holographic music or whatever other gadget they're trying to do right now? When was the last time that you just stopped and took a minute and had a look around? In the midst of our moaning and complaining and whinging and whining and our depression, when was the last time you just stopped and you looked around and you just took a deep breath and just said, thank you, God? When was the last time you stopped and you actually looked at someone when you were speaking to them, and after you'd said to them, how are you doing, you stopped and listened to the answer instead of just using it as a little prelude to launch it into them about how you are? We do that, right? How are you doing? Well, oh good. You know what? I'm really under it, man. I've had a terrible day. What about me? Come on, somebody. When was the last time, man, that you stopped and thought about it? When was the last time in the midst of your busy Western schedule that you stopped and thought about what God had done in your life? When was the last time in your busy schedule of doing things to meet your needs, did you take time to simply pray to your God instead of just sending him a quick shopping list of what it is that you need? Some people only pray to God when they want something from God. Everyone in the world, I think, believes in God when they're at the end of it and they're facing death, they're looking death in the face, or there's sickness, or they've got bad news, or no one else is around, or you're in the cell, or the last bus has gone. Come on now, you ain't got no cab fare. Hello. Then God, come to the rescue. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need you to pay this bill. God, I need you to let that person think about me. Look at me. Just let them give me a little sign when I'm in church. Let them look at me, man. And if they look at me, then I know that you are God in heaven, because you can move even a mountain. Hallelujah. And there is a mountain of ignorance in their way, because obviously it's standing in the way of them seeing me. Can I talk to you like this? Is that all right? When was the last time you stopped, man? And you just prayed to God and said, yeah, I love you. Wow. When was the last time you went, wow, when you thought about the cross? When was the last time you stopped and got serious about your relationship with God in the midst of the busyness of everything else that you're doing? In the midst of you, in the midst of your hair, in the midst of your nails, in the midst of your clothes, in the midst of your food, in the midst of your money, in the midst of pleasing other people. When was the last time you stopped and you went, wow, you've saved me, wow. You looked for me. When was the last time? When was the last time you walked past the thing of beauty and noticed it and recognized it for what it was? Or is it that you're so busy, you're so rushed, that you're so overtaken, you're so consumed with this world and everything that is in it, that you miss the very fact and the very truth that there is a God who is beyond this world, who is outside of this world, yet reaches into this world, that wants to come and be in your life? He wants you. He wants you more than you want him. You know why? Because you cannot come to him unless he draws you. That means that he was more concerned about you than you are about him. He looked for you when you was looking for everyone else except him. That is the God that we serve. That is the wow factor. That is the, my goodness, what a sinner I am, but what a savior you are. When was the last time in the midst of your religion did you remember your relationship? When was the last time in the midst of your marriage, married people, did you remember that you were actually loving that person? When was the last time that you were stunned at His creation? When was the last time you looked at a sunset and went, wow? When was the last time you ate a Mars bar and went, Some of you are like, I've been fasting, man. I'll do that right now if you give me the chance. I'll take that one on the chin right now, Pastor. Just give me it right now. I'll show you what it looks like to go, What about if God was taken away from you and your salvation went missing? What would you do then? What about if you lost your voice forever and you could never say another word of worship? You couldn't sing another song. What about, God forbid, if something happened to your arms and you could never lift them again in praise? What about? But we're so busy rushing about our day, rushing about our week, rushing about. We're already. Christmas has come and gone, man. New Year's come and gone. We're already halfway through January. Next, it'll be summer. Then it'll be Christmas again. We'll be going, where has this year gone, man? If only I'd have just stopped and thought about it. Maybe I'd have enjoyed it a little bit more and I'd have a few more memories. Come on now. A few more experiences, a few more landmarks, a few more memorial stones, a few more experiences with my God, a few more things that I'm going to be able to hold on to, that when the wind blows and the rain comes, when the storms of life hit you, when there's earthquakes in the land, when there's rushing rivers, when everything's coming against you and the world's going mental, where is it that you run to? When was the last time you just stopped and thought about it? When was the last time that you were His child and He was your father? When was the last time you was saying, no, wait, man, stop. That can wait. This is beautiful. When was the last time that someone had to drag you away from prayer, that someone had to drag you away from listening to the worship music, that someone had to drag you away from the presence of God in the sanctuary of God? When was the last time, man? Even now, some of you, you're justifying it and you're like, nah, it's not realistic. That ain't realistic. You can't live like that. The very fact that you've been thinking that means that you don't do that and you're missing out. I've got work. Don't pastor understand? He's just a pastor. That's what he does for a living. If only you saw my life, my goodness. Probably be easier for me to go to work. I'd have more time, less hardship, more money. It's not what I do for a living. It's my life. And I'm just blessed to be able to do what I love. So whatever that was, it wouldn't be work, would it? You know what's realistic? What's realistic is the fact that we're missing God more than we're finding Him. This stuff ain't a joke, man. Sometimes we think it's a joke. We think we can mess around and get away with it. And we've got away with stuff for so long and the lightning bolt ain't come down. And you know what I mean? The angel ain't appeared. And you know what I mean? The rocks ain't spoke to us and blah, blah, blah. We think we can just get away with it. And God's grace is just there for us. And it's all right. I'm saved and I love the Lord and I'm always going to be saved. And I've always got away. He knows, He understands and all that stuff. And we make all these justifications and we run about our day and we think that this year is going to be the same as last year and we're just going to get on with it. And there's no milestones. There's no experience with God. There's nothing from His word that's coming into our hearts and into our lives that's shaking us and giving us something solid. And we're missing it, man. And God has so much. We all go through seasons of this. Sometimes there'll be wonder. Sometimes you wonder what you're doing. And we take it for a little bit of a joke, man. We you know. Yeah, all right. You'll get over it, fanatic. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If a doctor is dedicated and practices his trade, is he a fanatic doctor or is he a good doctor? If a footballer practices for more hours a day than the rest of his teammates, does that make him a fanatic and a, you know, a brown nose, whatever you want to call it? Is he trying to, you know, get in the manager's pocket or whatever? Or is it just that he wants to be a really good footballer? How do you think Lionel Messi becomes World Player of the Year 4 times in a row? Do you think he cuts out of training early and, you know, goes out clubbing and does all that thing? You don't hear about him going out getting messed up. In fact, you probably hear about him standing after training and making 100 free kicks and you know, doing this and doing that. Do you call him a fanatical footballer or do you call him the best footballer in the world? I don't know about you, but I don't mind if people call me a fanatical Christian as long as I'm being the best follower of Jesus Christ that I can be. As long as every now and again I will just take stock, I will stop, I will pause, and I will think about the one that I'm calling myself after. And when you do that, you know that life makes sense. When you do that, you know that you find pathways in the wilderness. You find streams in the desert. You know that when you just wait, you stop and you think and you wait and you listen, you will hear the voice that is behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it. Don't go that way, go this way. You'll miss this, you'll get there, you'll get there. You'll move and you will find all of these holy coincidences just rising up and meeting you. And you will get to places quicker, you'll get to places, instead of rushing, you'll rest." When was the last time you stopped and thought about it? This ain't a joke. Jesus didn't think it was a joke when he was on the cross, dying for you and for me. I think he took that pretty seriously, don't you? He took his relationship with us more seriously than we take ours with him. How does that work? We get away without paying much of a cost because we still do our thing anyway. We get saved and then we want to live our own life. Well, I'll come to church on Sunday, but Wednesday maybe once in a while, but don't ask me to do anything else. My goodness, you're a fanatic. It ain't reality. I've got work to do. I've got housework to do. I've got sleep to sleep, man. I'm sleeping. I'm working all day. You know what I mean? I've got my life. Have you? When did you take that back off Jesus? When did you stop last time? Jesus, God the Son, begotten, not created, the Word of God, the one that is the express image of the Father in heaven, came down, limited himself to live in a human body, fully man and fully God in one body, limited, walking on this earth for 33 and a bit years, without sin, blessing everyone, destroying the works of Satan, dying a terribly cruel death, taking upon himself the sin of the whole world, going into the grave, but rising up again without sin and without death that he left down there, rising up with new life, rising up to give us an opportunity that we could have a second chance, that we could have a new go of it, that we could be new creations. And yet here we are, taking it for granted, running away, doing our thing. When was the last time you stopped and you thought about it? When Jesus did that, he paid for us, man, lock, stock, and barrel. He paid for our past, he paid for our present, and he paid for our future. That there is everything that we need in him. He can sort your bills out, sort your love life out, sort your health out. He can sort it out. But more often than not, what we do is we rush about trying to make it happen ourselves. And he's the last one on our list. We only go to him when we're in trouble and we're at the end of our strength. We try everything that we can to make it happen. And then when it don't, then we go to him. And we all of a sudden we need a miracle. Instead of taking instruction, we need a miracle. Because we don't stop and think about it. Jesus has got everything that we need in him. He paid for it. And we don't have to rush. We need to rest in his finished work. If you're a Christian, ain't about work, ain't about rush. It's about rest. It's about peace. It's about grace. And grace don't cover your sin. Grace gives you the power not to sin. When we look at our original scripture that we read, we see that spiritual serenity ought to be cultivated in spite of the shaking mountains of life and the agitated waters of our world. The spiritual calm that God commands does not come from a lack of trouble. No one ever said it was going to be easy. No one ever said you weren't going to have to go through some stuff. No one ever said everyone was going to like you. No one ever said it was all going to make sense. No one ever said you weren't going to get sick. No one ever said you weren't going to have no money. No one ever said you weren't going to be afraid. No one ever said you weren't going to make mistakes. No one ever said that. It's never been promised. It's not there. That's a figment of our own hopes and dreams and imagination that we want it to be smooth, man. But the ride ain't smooth. The destination is certain. We need to rest. This calm don't come from a lack of trouble. It comes from a steady, deep reflection on the ways that God has always intervened in his story. We can rest reassured that God will never let us down. He will never let you go. He will never let things go too far. He will never let you be tempted beyond that which you can endure, but will provide a way of escape. He will never let you be overcome. He will never let you go through the fire and be burned. He won't let you go through the water and be drowned. He won't let you go through the valley of the shadow of death and be killed. He won't let you go without. He won't let you do without. He will be there. He will be there picking you up. When you're unfaithful, he will be faithful. When you turn against him, he will still pick you up and bring you back and call you back and woo you and call you. Why? Because his promises are perfect. They are sure. They can be trusted. He is our rock. He is our refuge. We can rely upon him. When was the last time you stopped and thought about that? Before you made that wacky decision, that nutty phone call, that accusation or that judgment, that criticism or that self-destructive move. So as your world crumbles around you, the call from Scripture is this. Don't doubt God and his care or his ability. Stand still. Not because of self-made confidence, not because you're the most composed person in the face of disaster, not because you've seen it all and you're really experienced. Be still because of what you know about God. It is God's past that provides calm for our future. Know that he is God. I told you the story about when Vicky was in hospital. She was having her operation to have her tumor removed. 7 hours. I had reassurance from God. These scriptures, this scripture had come to us many, many times. 3 or 4 times in the previous year that before we found out that she had cancer. Be still and know that I'm God. We were rushing about. This is VO, man. We're running about. We're doing our thing. You know what it's like. We're living in the world. You know, we're down. We're young. We're on it. We're with it. We got it. You know what I mean? We're doing it. Come on now. You know, we know the music. We know the streets. Many of us have come from that place. You know what I mean? We know how to flex. We know how to flow. We know what to do. We just didn't know how to grow. We didn't know the place that we needed to go. All that stuff. I know the rapping is rough, but... Don't act like a little powder puff. Go like that. Dandruff. I couldn't understand why this scripture kept coming. Be still and know that I'm God. All right, what does that mean? Really? Didn't think about it. Violin was playing. Be still and know that I'm God. Beautiful music. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm like, yeah, all right. What we got coming on now? What event are we going to put on? How many souls are we going to save? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. All right, yeah. Here's a tip. Now, what we got over here? How are we going to build this? Getting it? God's playing the violin, man. Be still and know that I am God. Thing of beauty was taking place. And we're running about. We're all over the place. Don't know what's going on. Anyway, cut a long story short. Let's move to the operation. She's going through an operation. I'm there praying in the hospital. It's a mad one. It's a big one. We don't know what we're getting involved in. Vicky didn't know. I didn't know. We didn't know the magnitude of it. We didn't know the repercussions. We just knew that we was hanging onto her leg. That's all. She had to go through this operation. Otherwise, she was going to be walking about on one leg. So we went for it. We did it. We didn't know what was going on. Be still, know that I'm God. In the midst of the operation, I get this dreadful feeling. I don't know what's taking place, but it ain't good. I go and I pray. I walk into the chapel in the hospital. Little thing. Tiny little, you know, one of those tiny little boring chapels that they give as an afterthought in public buildings. Walked in there, little old Bible that no one looks at in there, you know what I mean? People go in there for a bit of peace and all the rest of it. I walk in there, I think, where can I go? It's a blazing hot day. I've been outside praying, walking about hours now. I've gone into the chapel, I'm like, God, I don't know what's happening, but if I know that if something goes wrong in this operation, they're going to whip off a leg. That ain't happening, because you've given me assurances. I've got your promises. Walk into the chapel. God, what are you doing? What's happening? What's going on? I'm trying to work out. What do I do? Who do I see? I've been to the nurse. I've been to the doctor. I went down to where the consultants were. No, they're still in surgery. So, sorry, Mr. Lloyd. Can't give you any more news. There's been a complication. Something's taken place. What? So now I'm praying. What am I going to do? I'll run in there. If they've took her leg, I'm going to kill the doctor. Telling you. She'll be hopping up to see me in prison. What can I do? What must I do? What do I need to do? What, God, 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 what must I do? What must I do? What must I do? Walk into the chapel. Look to the left. Big banner. Be still and know that I am God. See the banner? Wipe my mouth. Got it. I finally heard the music. I finally realized the thing of beauty. I finally rested. I said, God, that's it. Done. Walked out, walked back to where Vicky's mum was. She said, what's happening? What's happening? I said, it's going to be all right, Dory. Don't worry. How do you know that? What have they said? Dory, listen. It's cool. Don't worry. Out she comes, goes to see the consultant. All mangled and cream cracker, do you know what I mean? I've been operating for 7 hours. I said, how'd it go? Oh, surprisingly well. We're really pleased with it. It was amazing. You know, all of their negativity, we actually did it. We got it all out. We got it all out. There was one tricky time when we couldn't get the tumor away from a vein at the back of her leg. Sorry to be so graphic. And the vein split. And she bled out. I'd give her a full blood transfusion. That was the be still moment. You know what I learned? Sometimes you just got to stop and let God be God. Be still. Know. Be intimate with. Trust in. Have faith in who He is. It's always going to rain. Good people and bad people get sick. Everyone dies. Ain't God's fault. Just is how it is. But be still. Know that He is God. Know it. Not merely intellectually, but practically and spiritually and emotionally. Know Him. And you know, to know Him You've got to give him room. Give him time. Give yourself a bit of space. And the funny thing is that the time that you give to him that you really should be using to do your housework and to get that extra bit of work in and to, you know, make that phone call or do that thing, you know, in the moment that you spend with him, he takes care of it. And every time I've ever done that, I just rested in him. He's taking care of business. He's shown me what to do. He's told me what to do. He's already provided the miracle. I'll turn around and there's the answer. I don't have to do anything. He's already took care of it. All he wanted was for me to get with him and just... So when was the last time that you just paused and thought about him? Close your eyes. Worship team, come back. You ain't got time to pause just yet. When you're a minister, it's a funny old business. Today, I stayed in my house all day. For some of you, you're like, wow, I wish I could do that. I had to go to work. I spent all day with God. In me spending time with God in peace, just resting, I've got two messages together, four leadership teachings, reassurance about some stuff. And all I did was just got with him and he just went, so I'm right now, we're going to pray and we're just going to come to this altar and take time in his presence and see what he does. Some of you, he's going to change your heart, change your mind. He's going to give you a breakthrough. For some of you, he's going to pull down strongholds. For some of you, he's going to uplift certain things within your life. For some of you, he's going to take out them, you know, them horrible, grinchy, stressy things that take place on your shoulders and in your neck. That's going to disappear. That's just going to go. The knots are going to melt. Things are going to be released. Pressures in your head are going to be removed. Problems that you've been facing, they're going to look like what they are, really, from his viewpoint, molehills, not mountains. Because when you're looking at them from your strength, they look like mountains. When you're resting with him, you look down and they're just bumps in the road. Things are going to take perspective. You're going to look at the beauty of it. You're going to notice the value of it. You're going to hear the instrument is worth so much more than we ever could have imagined. His word, it's worth more than £3.5 million violin. And the message, it's going to keep you through the rough times and the hard times and the big times and the bad times and the small times and the good times. It's going to keep you going until the end of time. Because you're going to know that when the going gets rough, the tough pause and think about him. Father, in this place today, Holy Spirit, I pray that in one moment in your presence is worth 1,000 lifetimes elsewhere. Just one moment in your presence, Holy One, is enough. When we have to rush, when we have to run, when we have to force, when we have to exert our strength and our energy and it leaves us exhausted and weary and vulnerable, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. Holy Spirit, come into this place suddenly like a mighty rushing wind. Fill us with your peace and your presence. We turn off right now. And we look to you. in Jesus' name. I want you to stand. I want you to get out your seats. I want you to come, find a place at this altar. Let's all do it. Don't be afraid. And just stop. Worship team going to sing. They're going to minister because they're worshiping from His presence. That's the thing in this worship team that we got. They don't worship for His presence. They worship from His presence. They come from His presence to lead you where it is that they've come out of. The best ministry comes when the man of God comes from the presence of God and tells you how to get there, or tells you what's happened in there, and gives you that taste for the same thing. And you want to go there then. That is working from grace, not for it. Working from salvation, not for it. That is living in the rest. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in His rest for the rest of my life. So all over this place, as we begin to worship and we begin to sing, you can pray, you can kneel, you can do whatever it is that you feel in your heart to do, but God is in this place. Let me tell you right now. Did you not know it? He's going to touch you, fill you to the extent of your emptiness. He'll fix you to the extent of your brokenness. He'll meet you. All you got to do is just turn to Him. And what you'll find is He was always there. Come on, lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Lift up your hearts. And just worship. Sing a new song. Plug in, lock in, just rest. You don't have to make anything happen. There's no pressure tonight. Just stop and notice the beauty.